we have assembled for you a compilation. We think you're going to dig. A compendium, if you'll have it, of the very best stuff that happened on our morning show. And I should introduce myself and my partner here. My name is Dave.
And my name is Darren, and you're not.
Welcome, everybody, to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. This is the best we could do on our morning show.
Oh, boy. What? Really had to pull the horse over the finish line this time.
There are mornings that are like that. We'll start with number one.
Number one.
I have a Florida story that does not involve
Florida.
The traditional Florida man that we've come to know and love.
Damn.
This is a man in Florida who is dead as a result of eating a bad oyster. The Florida man dead after he caught a bacterial infection from what they call a one-in-a-billion bad oyster. Death traced back to the Rustic Inn Crab House in Fort Lauderdale, where this guy ate just before he got sick with something called Vibrio.
I'm dreading the reviews, I can tell you that.
Jeez. Manager of the restaurant says as many as 100 dozen oysters were served the day that this guy ate there. And he says, quote, "He had that one in a billion that was bad. I feel horrible."
Sounds like more like a one in a couple hundred.
100 dozen oysters. One in a billion. Or, you know, one in 1,200. Oysters are the top of the mountain for dangerous foods to eat. I have eaten them my entire life, he says, and I will continue. But you are putting yourself at risk when you do it. He says here, the Florida Department of Health inspected the restaurant's kitchen, and it passed with flying colors after this guy got sick. Quote, "Over the course of 60 years, we've served a couple of billion oysters, and we never had anyone get sick like this guy did." Now, wait a minute. If it's one in a billion, and you're saying you've served billions of oysters, undoubtedly you have killed more than just this guy. Your words, your words.
It's just simple math.
I'm just doing the oyster math here.
Did you see also over the weekend, I don't know that this was necessarily in Florida, but some couple had, I think they were having oysters, and they found a purple pearl in it?
A purple pearl in an oyster. That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Is it worth a lot of money?
You tend to think so.
Where
it was like purple or pink? I think it was purple.
That was actually in Delaware.
Purple.
Yeah, a Pennsylvania man found a purple pearl inside the shellfish while dining in Delaware.
Don't tell anybody.
He says he was eating with his wife and his kids at Salt Air in Rehoboth Beach when he found the rare glistening treasure inside a clam. At first, they thought it was some kind of bead or maybe a piece of candy. Quote, "We thought the chef dropped something in there." On closer inspection, though, he found that it must have come from inside the clam. He says, "As we were looking at the shell, we saw this little indentation on the shell inside the clam where it was growing, so we figured it was probably something from inside the clam."
Well, which is it? The guy dropped something or it came from the clam?
Yeah, get your story straight.
Don't tell anyone.
The plan is, he says he almost sent the clams back before he found the pearl because of a bell pepper garnish that his wife didn't like. He says he plans to have the pearl appraised. Pearls are typically formed inside the shells of living oysters. They can also form inside other shellfish like clams and mussels. Depending on its color, size, and where the pearl was formed, naturally in the wild or cultured on a farm, they can be worth thousands of dollars, but on average are worth somewhere between, looks like $300 and $1,500.
Still.
That's not nothing. And it's better than dying as a result of eating your shellfish.
It'll buy you more clams.
What? And don't they call, like in the old gangster movies, don't they call money clams?
Yeah.
How many clams is
that? Yeah, see?
Yeah, we're going to make a bunch of clams in this, I see. Back to the Florida story. The guy who died apparently was someone who used to work at that restaurant.
Okay.
He worked at that restaurant decades ago.
We've got a special oyster for you.
Oh, no.
Is this an oyster hit?
Are you saying that this is some sort of organized oyster assassination? I don't know about this. There was something very ominous about the way the waiter said,
"This is for you."
This one's for you.
Oh no.
But now he's dead.
This is the second guy to die. The second person to die in Florida from Roy Oysters just in the month of August. Pensacola News Journal says a community leader died on August 9th from Vibrio.
Well, you'll have to leave from behind.
Rodney Jackson got sick after he bought oysters from Maria's Fresh Seafood Market. Both cases involved oysters sourced from Louisiana.
The Bayou.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warns on its website that most of these cases occur in hotter weather. An oyster that contains harmful bacteria does not look, smell, or even taste different from any other oyster. Most infections that you get from these oysters will result in vomiting and
diarrhea.
Again, that's according to the Centers for Disease Control. So you're telling me you could eat an oyster. There's nothing that would appear to be wrong with
tip
it.
Tip you off.
And you can die. No thanks. I got news for you. I wasn't going to eat an oyster even before this news. It looks like a rock you crack open and there's boogers inside.
Oh, they're quite good.
Yeah, enjoy. Hard pass for me even before.
What if they were cooked? Oh, would you do like an oyster chowder? Oyster stew? Like an oyster stew?
It's like you're meeting me for the very first time to ask such a ridiculous question.
I knew better.
Oyster chowder?
I knew better.
I would starve to death if all we had was oyster chowder. I would choose to starve to death. No thanks. Prevention of vibrosis is mostly affected in food processing, they say. Food items, mostly seafood that contain Vibrio organisms, are regularly controlled. The water that seafood is fished or farmed from is analyzed to determine microorganism content.
It's a crapshoot.
Doesn't seem like they're really getting all of it, though, because we got two people dead in Florida in this month of August. It's the 22nd. There could be another one before the end of the month. I hope not. That's a whole lot of nope from me.
Number two.
Time for another Monday morning roundup of people who have questions. Mm-hmm. This is not the subreddit where they ask, am I the jerk? These are people who reach out to advice columnists, which is still a thing, apparently.
Yes.
I've got three of them I want to share with you this week. This one's headline is, should my husband continue following his employee's not safe for work social media account? One of my husband's employees freelances as a lingerie model and has an active social media presence dedicated to her beautiful and intentionally racy photos.
Mm-hmm.
She brought this to his attention out of caution, as it's a very different industry from their work. And he said it's her business,
yeah.
Which was the right response.
But I'm going to follow you.
He also follows her from his personal account. That part is weird, right? We're all lefty, sex-positive people, and I guess he sees it as being friendly and supportive. As far as I know, that's all it is. But he's also 15 years plus she is 15 years plus his junior, and he's her immediate supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
My impression is she's cool with it, though. I remember being in my early 20s and being cool with a lot of work-related interactions that in retrospect were not okay. I'm not worried about him pursuing her, but at the same time, being supportive of your employee's side hustle doesn't mean choosing to look at their boobs on the daily, right? Is he destined to become yet another story about a male boss crossing the line? What are the rules anymore?
What are the rules?
Yeah. Well, the advice given here is you got to get your husband to unfollow his employee's lingerie account.
Best if he doesn't do this.
Would be a good idea for him to not be following that.
That would be a better idea than following her.
Quote, there's a difference between being a sex-positive supportive person and a sex-positive supportive friend and a sex-positive supportive boss, and that difference has been lost on your husband. That's probably the best advice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's someone who writes...
There is a better option, is your answer.
Yeah. Don't follow it. It's your business, and I'm not going to look at it. If you're the boss, that's the appropriate thing. Here's somebody writing into the...
or at least tell you I'm not looking at it.
Advice columnist on the Financial Times newspaper. Can I compel my ex-wife to give me some of the assets she got in our divorce after my cryptocurrency portfolio tanked?
Oh, no. I don't think so.
That's not how anything works.
No.
You ridiculous man.
I might have made a huge mistake.
I got divorced last year, and as part of the financial agreement, my ex-wife and I agreed that I would keep my cryptocurrency assets while she got the lion's share of my pension and other investments.
What a bad... That's a bad negotiation.
Oh, no. Just let me have the crypto. You can have everything else.
Oh, brother.
We split the family home. When we negotiated last autumn, the crypto market was riding high, and I was convinced it would go higher still. But following the recent crash, my digital assets have more than halved in value. I'm now considerably worse off than my ex, and I'm worried about my financial future. She says I only have myself to blame and won't discuss the matter further.
Yep.
Can I go to...
She has that right.
Can I go to court to renegotiate our financial order?
Ugh. You blew it.
Come on, man. Is that really something you think is going to happen?
Why would I do that?
No, they say that's not something that's going to happen.
Mm-mm.
If every financial order could be revisited in this way, the courts would face a deluge of cases looking to reopen settled agreements. A settled agreement is exactly that. Yeah,
settled.
Settled. You get nothing.
Ugh.
You lose.
Goo.
Good day, sir.
Boo.
And finally... Somebody writing to advice columnist Amy Dickinson here. Why won't my youngest step-grandchild follow my cat's Instagram account?
I'd like to take this one.
I'm an old grandma with 10 step-grandchildren, the youngest of which is 18 and in her first year of college. That child receives a substantial scholarship from me for her college.
You're giving out scholarships? I don't think that's...
Of the 10 grandkids, she is the only one who does not follow me on my cat's Instagram account.
Which, what gives?
Which has over 5,000 followers. She does follow her other grandma on Instagram, which is perplexing to me. Not that I am begging for followers, but I think it's a charitable and loving thing to do, especially when I have been generous and loving towards her. I have not discussed this with her mother. Am I wrong to think that it would be a loving thing for her to do? It's just a cat's account, for Pete's sake.
Exactly.
What? What in the world? Why doesn't she follow my cat's Instagram account?
Did I just hear that right?
If I worked as an advice columnist, I assume I'm working in a high rise. If I open up the mail and there's a letter that says, why won't my step-grandchild open up my Instagram account?
Mm-hmm.
I'd open the window and I'd jump right out. That would be it for me.
You guys are just wasting my time.
I'm done. Pull the plug. Do what you want. I'm done. The Amy Dickinson says, you should ask your granddaughter directly to follow the cat's account. You have been careful to mention your financial support to this granddaughter. Are you implying that you're buying followers? I hope not, she says. Yeah, no, it's got to be organic, man. You can't buy followers for your cat's Instagram account. That's ridiculous.
Having said that, beautiful. If she chooses to not follow your cat's account, I think you have to leave it at that.
I just don't understand. How is it that she follows her other grandma?
Her other grandma's alligator account. What gives?
Number three.
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 This is shocking. Someone that works as a cleaner, okay? They go into your home and they clean your home, right?
Uh-huh.
They got a text message from the lady of the house, and they're calling this lady a Karen.
We still use that term?
Yeah, I think this is an appropriate use when you hear the story. The text message that the woman who owns the house sends to the cleaner starts off pretty great, actually. It says, "Hi, just wanted to let you know that we loved the cleaning last week and was wondering if you could come back every month." Question mark, exclamation point.
He make me clean toilet.
I had a feeling that we were going to end up there, but you want to go there now?
No, it's fine. It's just keep moving on with your story.
Never clean enough for Mister. He make me to scrub.
Scrub. He watch me scrub.
He like to watch when I scrub toilet.
He hide in the drapes.
No, he wasn't hiding.
You work with Mister. He make me to scrub toilet.
So initially, this text is great. Hi, just want to let you know we loved the cleaning last week, and we were wondering if you could come back every month, right?
Uh-huh.
Then the tone changes.
Okay.
In a way that I think will shock you. Also, we were wondering if you could give us a discount next time.
And why is that?
We saw you refilling your water bottle from our sink.
You think we didn't notice that?
We absolutely
we
saw.
We did.
How
we,
dare you?
We noticed.
You just filled your water bottle right from our sink.
In broad daylight.
The homeowner blaming her request on the spiraling costs of water bills. And tell me how tone deaf this remark is. Quote, "It seems like not a big deal, but our water bill is high, specifically with our new pool."
Stay out of the pool, by the way.
Don't even look at it.
Don't look at the pool.
I hope you'll come and clean again. If you were to leave the water on for a gallon, that's less than a penny. The fact that, well, our water bill's through the roof because we got this new pool here.
Let's keep it fair.
Mm-hmm. So it's a fraction of a penny.
No splashing.
Yeah. The cleaner could just take a penny out and put it on the table and go keep the change. It's just, you drank our water.
You did.
So we'd like.
And you did. You did it. You did do it. Didn't you? You did it.
We'd like some sort of discount because...
You did it.
We can't... I mean, the water's not free.
And you did do it.
You did a great job cleaning, and we'd love to have you back, but...
But...
If you want water, that's fine. We just would need a water discount applied because...
And no running by the pool.
Cool it with the running by the pool. Quit. Don't even look at it.
Doesn't anyone knock?
You know, I always thought you were cute.
Number four.
Four.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. They did a show in Chicago over the weekend.
Where?
Soldier Field.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got a bunch of video on my phone. I didn't go. Friends kept sending me videos.
And who played with them?
That I don't know. But I was looking at their set lists as I was getting videos in real time sent to me from the show. And I will say this for the Chili Peppers. It looks like every night the set list is completely different.
Huh.
Which, when you're doing a big stadium tour, yeah, that's something else. Usually you want it just a lot easier if you do the same show every night.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like they're not interested in doing that, so...
Well, yeah, just in time to rip up the field. maybe we want to cool the concerts for... Because we start here, it was the Bears' first game would have been 3 weeks ago yesterday.
Right.
So maybe...
What, do they have one more preseason game? They only do three
preseason
games,
they got one more.
Right?
They got one more.
That was Friday night I was getting the... the text video messages from the Chili Pepper show. Also on our text line at 470-23-NACHO, got a text here from, I want to thank someone in the 563 who says, I'm sure I won't be the first to show you guys this. And in fact, you were 563. It's a story that comes to us from Florida.
Huh. Florida.
The headline really says it all. Armless Florida man accused of stabbing tourist.
Mm.
A homeless Florida man with no arms arrested for stabbing a tourist with scissors using his feet. Jonathan Dale Crenshaw, a homeless artist from South Beach, Florida, arrested and charged with aggravated battery after he allegedly stabbed Cesar Coronado, a visiting tourist from Chicago. According to a witness, Coronado was asking Crenshaw for directions when the man suddenly attacked him, stabbing him in the arm.
What'd you just say?
Before fleeing on foot. Coronado telling NBC6 down there in Miami, quote, I'm not from here, and this is not what I came for.
I'm here on business.
I came for a vacation. I just said, you know where this is. But as soon as I talked, the only thing he reacted was, well, he just cut me. After being found near the scene by the police, Crenshaw told officers he was laying down when a man came up and punched him in the head. Crenshaw said he pulled a pair of scissors from his suitcase with his feet and stabbed the man twice to defend himself. Coronado says, why would I go and attack someone else? No, I wouldn't do that. It's like, how the hell did I get stabbed? Like, is it the right guy at that point? Because I can't believe it, with his legs someone could do that. You know what? I'm not even mad about getting stabbed. How could he do this without arms to me?
Who stabbed me?
Crenshaw now being held in jail on a $7,500 bond. You know, I didn't come here to get stabbed. That is not why I'm here.
I was unarmed.
The armless man was armed, though, with foot scissors.
Now who's unarmed?
I'm very confused by this story. His disarming smile said it all. I don't know, man. Maybe, I don't want to blame the victim, but I don't think it's a good idea to go ask, you know, homeless guys in Miami for directions. Doesn't seem like the best idea. Yeah, you've got a phone, right? Look it up on your phone. Asking for directions. What are you?
Google it.
What are you, Lewis and Clark?
Google it.
Walking around asking where you're going? Know where you're going. Or you're going to get stabbed.
Five. Number five.
Have you seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off ever?
Yes.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a movie I think I've seen once. It was fine. It doesn't really demand repeat viewings, does it?
No, I think I've seen it once.
That's the appropriate amount of times to see Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Is that a movie for whom some people hold a special place in their hearts? It must be, because Paramount says they're going to revisit Ferris Bueller's Day Off with a movie called Sam and Victor's Day Off. And the idea of this movie is it's a side story that focuses on two guys. They were the valets that took Cameron's father's red Ferrari on a joyride.
Okay.
So at some point in the movie, Ferris Bueller brings the Jaguar in and he gives it to the valets, and then they take off on it. And now this movie will answer the question, what happened when they took the car? Who's asking for that?
Did the car get smashed up?
Eventually, yeah. But that was because they were trying to, if I remember correctly, they got it back to Cameron's dad's garage, and then they were running it in reverse on jacks to have the odometer go in reverse.
Oh.
Which I don't think that's how that works.
I don't think that works.
And then it came off the jack, and then it flew out of the garage down a ravine.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. That sounds right.
Sam and Victor are the valets who take the car for a joyride.
All right, but they brought it back in one piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the original movie, they were portrayed by Richard Edson and the late Larry Flash Jenkins. John Hurwitz, Hayden Schlossberg, and Josh Heald, who created Cobra Kai, are producing this film. Mm. Now, I will say this. I didn't think there was any need for a Cobra Kai TV show. That show is actually pretty excellent.
Okay.
Another producer is Paul Young, who's done work on Key and Peele.
Well, there you go. Sounds like you got some credibility.
This film will be the first spinoff of one of John Hughes' directorial efforts. Most of those were all standalone projects. None of them are really connected to each other. I mean, they all take place in Chicago, but they're not. It's not like a cinematic universe, right? The original Ferris Bueller's Day Off was one of his most successful movies, grossing $70 million and becoming the 10th highest grossing domestic film the year it was released. Launched the careers of Matthew Broderick, Jennifer Grey, who played Ferris's sister, Jeannie. There was a TV show, Ferris Bueller's Day Off,
okay,
which is hard to watch. If you ever want to go down a rabbit hole, it's terrible. But Jennifer Aniston plays the sister.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it starts with the guy is doing the Ferris Bueller gimmick where he's talking to the camera, you know, breaking the fourth wall. And he brings up in the first couple of minutes of the show, like, I know there was a movie, and Matthew Broderick played me, but this is not that. And he takes this Matthew Broderick cutout out of his closet and just rips it in half. It's like, what?
Pretty aggressive.
What the hell is going on here? Yeah, it's hard to watch.
What was that on?
I want to say it was on NBC. And it's one of those things where it's so bad it'll make you hate the movie. If that makes any sense. Charlie Schlatter playing the role of Ferris Bueller. Not great.
Does he ever go to school?
On the TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or is he always calling in sick?
Episode...
Because if you keep doing that, eventually this is going to affect anything you might want to try to do.
They also... It's weird. They also... the show takes place in California.
Mm-hmm.
And they never quite explain how Ferris Bueller moved from Chicago to California with everyone he knows and goes to the same school. The first episode is Ferris Bueller's junior year begins at Ocean Bay High School. He has some old issues to deal with, such as his arch nemesis, Principal Rooney. Those will have to wait as he has the new issue of a beautiful transfer student named Sloan. Okay, but so the movie has already come out, and it's all about him and Sloan. And then the show happens, and he lives in California, and Sloan has just come to town, and he's just meeting her for the first time.
Oh, that's who that is in the movie?
I'm very confused.
She's Sloan?
Yeah, she's Sloan.
Oh. Some of the stuff went over my head.
Yeah. Yeah, there were 13 episodes of this, and they are not great. Episode 8, Baby, You Can't Drive My Car.
So
Ferris gets the car of his dreams for his birthday, a 1962 Chevy Corvette. His dreams turn into nightmares when he and Cameron become concerned that the car may be haunted.
I like that.
Ferris returns to talk to the car salesman, Mr. McFarlane, and discovers that Mr. McFarlane has been dead for over 20 years.
Okay. Great. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That is not bad.
Yeah. It aired from, it was 13 weeks in 1990.
Okay, so the new thing they're doing, it's TV or streaming or it's a movie?
I think this is going to be a theatrical release.
It's an actual movie, okay.
Yeah, two characters who have no lines now will have their own movie.
Well, I like the idea of doing that. Characters that don't talk in movies getting their own movie. Like,
okay, who would you give a movie to?
Quint's sidekick.
I wouldn't be upset at the spinoff of the kid from A Christmas Story with the goggles on and the line.
Well, he does. He's got one line.
Well, I think they have, you know, he might have one line. Do you like The Wizard of Oz? 2 hours with that kid would make me very happy.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
You know what? Now that we've listened to the whole thing, that was much better than I remembered.
It really was.
Thanks for listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thanks for downloading it, subscribing, listening to it. If you get a chance, leave a review. If you don't, we understand. You get a lot on your
whatevs.
Yeah. I hate handing out homework assignments. Thanks so much for listening. We'll do another one real soon. Until we get a chance to do that for you, hang loose, Kooks!
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
We're cakes for nothing!
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.